You are in the power zone now with DU. DU's Power Zone.
The Power Zone with DU is dedicated to bringing you insightful communication and resources that will guide you further in making your personal and professional goals a reality. Through candid, stimulating, and essential conversations, we focus on the 9 universal goals of success, which include career, finances, education, family, arts, attitude, health and wellness, leisure, and public service. Based upon these goals, we provide you, the listener, with practical measures of advancement.
Good evening, family, and welcome to the Power Zone with DU. Again, welcome to the Power Zone with DU. I am your host, Darlene A. Anderson, founder of Darlene's Utopia and author of Not Without a Fight, 10 Ways to Win When It Appears as If You've Already Lost, and you have entered the Power Zone with DU. Happy Wednesday evening. I hope you all are still enjoying your July. We are in the last week of July. I hope that it's as event-filled as it was when you began. We are, as always, or I am, excited about the call for this evening. I will continue to bring insightful and resourceful communication to help you elevate to your highest level of potential personally and professionally, and bring about great guests to join me in the process. Now, if you're tuning in for the very first time, welcome. We are glad to have you out here on this evening. I would like for you to tune in to our archive shows. Tune in right now. Put it in your favorites, postmark it, and utilize it whenever you can to listen in and catch great guests. We had a dynamic call last week with a young entrepreneur reshaping New York City and beyond, Mr. Brendan Ortiz, to speak about his movement, What Does HIV Look Like? The Monologue. I want you all to listen in on that show and join Brendan as he moves to redefine what HIV looks like, provide awareness, and share interventions throughout the land, because he is just not doing it here in New York City. This young mogul is taking off, and check him out. Look for him also on MTV. We couldn't share that last week, but we definitely can now. Brendan will be on MTV to share his thoughts and to really, really, again, move towards changing the stigma of what does HIV look like. Now, if you're tuned back in, well, thank you. You know, it's always a pleasure to have you out here on the Power Zone with DU. We want you to continue to return and tell your family, friends, and networks all about us. And I am looking forward to an extremely, extremely awesome lineup for August. We're bringing about measures to help you win in the last quarter of 2015. So get ready, as I'll be providing more information about that accordingly. We're going to go out on a little break, and when we return, I'm going to speak a little bit to the topic and introduce our guest for this evening on the Power Zone. We'll be right back, family.
Homeowners residing in the New York State area, are you in need of assistance with a pending foreclosure? If you answered yes to this question, then DDR Consultants may be the assistance that you seek. DDR Consultants provides a variety of services to assist homeowners residing in the New York State area with mortgage foreclosures and documentation, inclusive of discoveries and interrogatories, as well as oppositions to the bank's motion. DDR Consultants also provides services in property management, inclusive of advertisement, leasing, and maintenance. For more information about foreclosures and property management, contact DDR Consultants at 914-309-5443. Own family, have you heard the news about Utopia Network, Inc.? Utopia Network, Inc. is a New York-based 501c3 nonprofit organization. Their mission is to connect individuals and families with services that will promote stability and a better quality of life. They are committed to ensuring that the underserved communities have an understanding of the tremendous opportunities of productivity in their adversities and move to actions of advancement. To learn more about Utopia Network, Inc., visit them at their Facebook fan page, Utopia Network, Inc.
Welcome back, family. You have re-entered the Power Zone with Darlene A. Anderson, founder of Darlene's Utopia and author of Not Without a Fight, 10 Ways to Win When It Appears As If You've Already Lost. I want to take this moment. I know you all just came back from the break and you heard a little bit about DDR Consultants, but I encourage you not just to listen, but to call. Follow up, ask your questions as it relates to foreclosures for your home. It is important for you to be educated on every possible avenue needed to take to ensure that you as well as your family members remain in your home. Here are options, and DDR Consultants is there to provide tips, suggestions, and research best practices to ensure that you remain in your homes and also can provide advocacy when needed. So please check out our sponsors, DDR Consultants. Now, the topic for this evening. I've known this individual for some time, and I am honored to have them on the Power Zone for this evening. But more so, there are times when we come to the show and we speak about things that are taboo, but more so on a, and not to take away from the seriousness of this topic, but when we come, like last week we spoke about HIV prevention. We speak about what it's like to be incarcerated and return home. We speak on topics like that are taboo, but it needs to be discussed on a societal level. Well, the topic that we're going to be discussing tonight is just as important, but it's taboo, and it may make you smile initially, but it's something that needs to be addressed because it is happening, and we need to talk about it. So that being stated, family, I'm going to speak to who the person is a little bit, and then I'm going to bring her on the call so we all can chat. Valerie Carey is a retired New York City police sergeant turned entrepreneur. She is the founder of the brand TOTM, Time of the Month, author of the TOTM, Time of the Month Ultimate Period Planner, and co-founder of the best-selling book, The Art of Activation, with Lucinda Cross and 23 other dynamic women activating and living their lives on purpose. Carrie is a mentor and community activist in her native Brooklyn neighborhood of Bedford-Stuyvesant, having served with several national organizations, including Noble National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, and publishing a monthly local newspaper named Vowed World. Carrie believes in community. Carrie has mentored the youth at the local PAL, Police Athletic League, through Mentoring USA. Carrie currently is on the board of Brooklyn Cares, a local chapter of the National Cares Mentoring Movement, NCMM. Carrie is also a certified New York City General Topics Instructor. As a retired NYC sergeant, who was injured on the job, Terry never used her menstrual cycle as an excuse to miss work or as a reason to leave a task undone. She is one of five sisters and has a teenage daughter whom she is currently educating about the myth of PMS and all that it means when it's that time of the month. For Carrie and millions of women like her who have had ovarian cysts, surgery to remove cancerous cells from her cervix, and over 300 menstrual cycles from regular to irregular periods, knowing signs and what triggers certain symptoms for such a consistent occurrence in their lives would be helpful. Valerie Carey currently lives in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn, with her teenage daughter Shelby, lifetime partner Shamal, and her cat, Seven. Ladies and gentlemen of the Power Zone, without further ado, I introduce to you author, mentor, speaker, coach, and activist, Ms. Valerie Carey. Valerie, welcome to the Power Zone.
Thank you for having me, darling. I'm happy to be here.
As am I. It's been a while. You know, when I think back, Valerie, it's been a couple of years that we've been talking about doing something together. I believe 2009 or so that we've been in contact with one another, but this is literally the first time we're sitting down and doing something together. So it's an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Now, you know, I like to be as precise as possible. When was the book initially published? Because I believe around the time it was published is when I met your publicist. So we're going to speak a little bit about the book and everything. But the book was published in 2009?
No, it was published in 2010.
It's 2006. So 2010 is when I met your publicist. Okay, 2010. So it's been around 5 years that we've been talking about doing something together. And here we are. And those years have gone by so quickly.
Oh, they have. They have.
Good. So we're going to speak a little bit about who Val is. Let everybody know about growing up in Brooklyn, being on the police academy. Can we speak to those things for a second?
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome. So please share.
Okay, so I grew up in East New York, Brooklyn, in one of the toughest projects, as some people would view it. Of course, when you're in it, you don't see it that way because you don't actually see other things to compare it to as a youngster. But I grew up in East New York. I went to the local elementary school. And it was literally across the street from my house, so there was no excuse for me not to go to school because I could just walk straight across the street. So when it was snowing and the snow was up to your knees and up to your hips, there was no excuse. You're still going to school.
You still had to go to school. And thank you for mentioning that because I, too, grew up in East New York. And it's funny how like-minded, when people say like-minded people gravitate to one another, it's beyond sometimes on a professional level. Sometimes it's definitely personal and some of the attributes that make you who you are from your childhood because I, too, grew up in East New York and experienced that. My school was right across the street. We had to go to school. Snow days meant nothing. So today's youth, you guys are really at an advantage because we did not have such luxuries back in our day. So, yes, ma'am, it definitely.
And actually, just to kind of piggyback off of that, back in the day, the sanitation, the pickup wasn't the way it is now. I mean, the conveniences that we actually have. So snow would pile up on top of snow, and there would be mountains of snow out there. So those that are old enough to remember that know what I'm talking about. But, yeah, I grew up in pink houses, and I went to PS 224, which was right across the street from where I lived. I then went to Philippa Schuyler, School for the Gifted and Talented in Fishwick.
Yes.
And, you know, growing up in East New York, now, you know, from East New York to Bushwick, if you have a car, it's nothing. But as, you know, a 12-year-old youngster, my mom was really concerned about me traveling, But fortunately, there were a group of us that actually got into the school, and I convinced my mom that we would all travel together, you know, buddy system type thing. It took 2 buses to get to school or 3 trains just because we're, I lived at and where the school is located. So, yeah, that was junior high school. And then I went on to Franklin K. Lane. And somewhere in my 12th year of high school, I was convinced to take the police test. So it wasn't something that I aspired to be. I actually wanted to be an attorney. I wanted to be a lawyer. And those were my aspirations. And
yes.
I had attended a weekend work, well, actually it was a weekend trip that the local councilwoman at the time, Priscilla Wooten, had.
Yes. Oh, my God. She was like, you're just bringing things up that I'm like, wow, because sometimes we really don't remember the stories of how we got to where we are. But it's important. We had community activists like Miss Priscilla that was like reshaping East New York, just bringing youth up. A lot of people today are in positions because of her, because of her planting those seeds.
You know, I actually have to say, because, you know, since that time as I grew into an adult, I watch how politicians actually take their posts and how they interact. Out in East New York, Priscilla Wooten actually did take the monies that were, you know, granted to her office and actually put them into the neighborhood, and she actually did care about the youth. And so every year she would take, I believe, like 2 busloads of, you know, inner city youth upstate on what was called like a ski trip, but there were different workshops throughout that weekend that you were able to attend. I was interested in law, so I took the law workshop thinking that it was going to be geared towards, you know, the career of being a lawyer. However, there was law enforcement there that was sharing what a great opportunity it would be to actually become a New York City police officer. And I kind of got coaxed into taking a test, and because the way it was promoted, like, yeah, you could become a cop and still go to college and then become a lawyer after that. It sounds good.
Yes.
It's actually possible, but it's not as probable. Not as many people that, you know, once you get on the job, you kind of have a different view, and you know, most people, and let me not say most, but a great deal of people that might have came on a job with the idea of this is a stepping stone to something else actually stayed. And
correct.
I was one of those people. And so
correct.
With me staying on a job, I said, well, I'm not going to stay as a cop. You know, I'm going to move up the managerial ladder. And I actually was able to pass the test for sergeant, and I became a sergeant. I had aspirations of moving past sergeant. However, my career was cut a little short. And I got an early retirement because I was hurt on the job several times. So, yeah.
And this led to the other dynamic things that you've been doing throughout the years, and we'll speak to those things, but ultimately it catapulted you to entrepreneurship?
Yes. While I was still a cop, I had aspirations of ownership, owning my own business. I had started a business, Shelby Co., where I was making bath scrubs and lotions. It was more like a wellness line that I was cultivating. And as I was doing that, I remember one of the sergeants at my precinct. This was right around the time when I wanted to study for sergeant. And she expressed to me that you're not going to be able to build your business and study for sergeant at the same time. You have to pick one or the other. And to be quite honest, studying for sergeant, it's really such an arduous task. It's, you know, if you've ever studied for the LSAT, I would say that it's probably, if not the equivalent, or even worse than that. I mean, the book that you have to study from, they don't even tell you exactly what's going to be on the test. You just need to know everything that's in that book because they can come from anywhere. And so I decided that I would put my business on hold and take the test. And so I studied hard for about a year and a half. And I took the test in February 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And I passed. And so I became a sergeant, and then when I got hurt again and I had to have surgery, it was decided that I wasn't going to stay on the force, and I got an early retirement. After I retired, I started to think about all the things that I wanted to do while I was working and that I really couldn't do, because the job is pretty demanding. So your hours, they fluctuate at times, and sometimes you have really long hours. So
yeah.
Now, as being, being retired, being home, I had time to think about what it was, some of my aspirations that I wanted to actually accomplish.
I wanted to tell our listeners, this is actually some of the things that you're speaking to. We're going to be going into August with some of these things, because the road to entrepreneurship, the road to maintaining a successful business and working, or if you plan on exiting your 9-to-5, 8-to-4, 12-to-8, whatever you're doing, whatever time, and doing, as you said, ownership, entrepreneurship, maintaining a small business full time, there is a process, and sometimes you will have to balance the two or put one on the back burner to complement the other, because it's constant. It's a constant struggle of maintaining both of them. So thank you for sharing that, because we're going to speak a lot about that in August with professionals that are doing both right now. Because sometimes we think that people are doing one thing and we don't know what people are doing behind closed doors, but it's important for you to share stuff like that from your prior life for individuals to know it's not easy at all.
Yeah, so when I retired, I had time on my hands, and fortunately, I did, because my daughter at the time, I believe she was about 10, so that gave me more time with her. And one of the things that I wanted to do for her was to actually put my thoughts on paper. I was really concerned about her actually having her first menstruation. She hadn't had it yet. And I wanted to give her some insight, some tips on what she should be doing during that time of the month. Now, verbal communication sometimes could be a little bit difficult for some people, because they may not know exactly what the words to say, but written communication, sometimes you just really find your words. So I started putting together this book, and it was literally like a composition book that I was demonstrating how she should track her cycle, what she should be taking note of, what she should be paying attention, and different tips that she should be doing during that time of the month. And as I was creating this plan for her in this composition book, I thought to myself, I said, I'm sure that there are other women that can actually benefit from this. And it's not just young girls, but we all, as women, we menstruate for about 30, 40 years. And even though we may not be menstruating for the first time, you may have been cycling for 20 years, there's still something to learn about your body, because your body is ever changing. It changes with diet, it changes with pregnancy, it changes with what's happening around you. And so it's very important to have knowledge of self, basically, to know exactly what is transpiring in your body. And when you go to the doctor, oftentimes we don't write down what our ailments are. We have it in our mind, but when you get to the doctor, by the time we get to the doctor, you may not even feel the same pain that you were feeling that was, a nagging, consistent pain. And once you get to the doctor, it almost always, I know for me,
yes,
tears. And then you sit here, and the doctor says, well, how are you? And you say, I'm fine. You're really not fine. You came in here for a reason. So I found that writing down and tracking your cycle and documenting your cycle is such a great way, because your cycle is connected to so many things that can be happening in your body. Whether or not you have a regular flow for 10, 15 years, and all of a sudden now your flow is much heavier, that could be an indication of something else that's going on in your body. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's something as bad as cervical cancer, but it can be something along the lines of fibroid, uterine fibroid. You don't know, but you would have the tools, you would have the information to present to your doctor, because you don't necessarily have to remember it all in your head. You've been tracking it. You've been writing it down.
This is awesome, Bob. When I first met your publicist back in 2010, Vaughn, when I first met Vaughn, it was through my mentors, an acknowledgement to Mr. and Mrs. Jordan at the Brown Sugar out in Bedford Stuyvesant. They've been there for many, many years, maintaining an awesome business, and it's a chain right now because they're just taking over that entire block. They've always provided great mentorship to small businesses and entrepreneurs, and they've spoken to me about your publicist back when my book was just a thought, and I was just sitting down in my composition book, as you stated, just writing ideas. They mentioned her, and I had the opportunity to meet her, and when I did, she spoke to your book, which had just been published at the time, and I remember, like, smiling and laughing because I said, wow, this was just so taboo for me growing up. Like, to say the word period was, like, the biggest sin in the world. See, I'm coming from a family growing up in a Christian Pentecostal setting, so to speak. So a lot of our listeners that are familiar what it's like to be in a Pentecostal family, we didn't mention that. You don't go to church when you have your cycle. You don't talk about your cycle. It's on slow. You are not touching ordained ministers, evangelists, prophets. You're not touching them when you have that time of the month because it's such a taboo thing to discuss. You just handle your business, and that's it. So when I had this conversation with your publicist, I said, wow, you know, this is very interesting because these things do need to be addressed because there are things happening with our body. And unless you're comfortable in talking about it overall, you're not going to be able to find these things out and learn about yourself. So this is awesome stuff. What prompted you to just say, I'm going to write a book, a planner, because it's a workshop. It is the ultimate period planner. What was, after going through these things, do you remember that pivotal moment when you said it needs to be documented for the masses, so to speak?
You know, it's interesting because as I was writing this book for Shelby, it was something that clicked in my head and said, you know, you can actually make this into a book. And when I did that, it was interesting because I actually self-published because I didn't want someone else telling me that they didn't see my vision, that they didn't know how to promote my book. I wanted to have control of how it was put out there. And so I did self-publish. And through self-publishing, I actually created a publishing company, which I actually published someone else's book. So, you know, it's interesting how one path, you go down one path and then another path opens for you. So, and then the actual idea of the book, the concept of the book, just began to evolve, not just from a book. I then began doing workshops. And, yeah, you have to educate people sometimes on a new product because some people just don't get it. But this is something that deals with a natural process for women. It's a natural process. And this is something that's going to occur for all women. And women are going to go through this for at least 4 decades of their lives.
Yes.
So why is it something that's so taboo? It's because and taboos are created from years and years of thinking. And where did that thought process come from? I'm sure it didn't come from women. It came from more than likely men who were ignorant, you know, to the fact of what was transpiring for a woman. And there's so many different myths that are surrounding the menstrual cycle. Women are not dirty during that time of a month. And that's something that women have to begin to really own and know. No, it's not taboo. It's not, you're not nasty. You're not dirty. You're not impure. You shouldn't be tucked away for days on end. Yes, you can touch people. You're not radioactive during that time of the month. And if it were not for a menstrual cycle, none of us would be here. So we should all give thanks to that.
Indeed, indeed. And that is the biggest, I guess, comeback in the great debate between men and women. I just was speaking to a colleague and I was saying, I'm going to have her on the show. I'm really excited. And I started talking about the subject matter. And of course, he's a male. And I nature most men. And I would say, you know, I laugh when you said, you know, most of them are ignorant. Because it really is lacking knowledge. The definition of ignorant is lacking knowledge or awareness in general, uneducated of a certain subject matter, so to speak. And you'll find that some men are educated in it. It's just that the whole word just like, ew. So I'm talking to my friend and I said, you know, we're talking about periods. And he was like, ew. And his whole face changed. And I said, well, that's how you got here, isn't it? Had it not been a period, you wouldn't be here. And, you know, conversation is just shut down from that point forward. But it is, as you said, it's very taboo. It's very taboo. But it does need to be spoken about for various reasons. Even as you said, you know, 4 decades. This is important enough. 4 decades. That at least up until your 40s, usually women will experience regular and irregular periods. That comes with so many secondary conditions that we don't know about. So now, we have the book, Your Daughter is a Young Mogul Walking in Your Footsteps, and I'm sure you want her to be beyond because that's what we as parents want. It's like, don't do what I did. Be better than me. And I see your daughter really going into the level of entrepreneurship as an author, piggybacking off of what you did. How has she received the book, and what is her platform now?
You know, it's a joy to see your children blossom into something. And sometimes you tell your children things, and you don't think they're listening. But when you find out that they're actually listening and they actually get it, it's like, wow, I'm actually doing what I'm supposed to do. How did she receive my book? I was really apprehensive as to how she received the book. Is she using the book? Is she reading the book? She's the muse for the book. She's the reason the book exists. But she actually does pay attention to the things that I have written in the book. And she's been there helping me at, you know, different conferences and fairs and, you know, when we're vending for TOTM. She's there with me, unless, of course, she's at school, and she goes, she attends school in Philadelphia. But so now she is, she's a budding fashion designer. She has her online STC, Shelby Tyler Collection, and she started out doing bow ties, and I'm really, really supportive of her. I'm her biggest cheerleader this year. She's going to be having her 4th annual fashion show. So every August, she does a fashion show. And when I say she does a fashion show, she picks out the models to model in her show. She coordinates the show. She creates the fashions that they're going to wear, and she sews them. And so,
amazing. It is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And I can definitely, concur as far as the children that we think, well, because they're not kids anymore, young teens, adolescents, my daughter's 19, and I've been saying, and I'm like, are you listening? Are you receiving what I'm saying? Do you get it? And we think they're not getting it, but then we see something, and I'm like, wow, they really did get it. So then you sit back, and you're like, all those years when I thought they weren't getting it, they really did get it. So it's a beautiful thing, and congratulations. She's beautiful. I'm excited, and that show, now that we're talking about it, I just want to throw that date out, and we're going to come back to it. So, family, if you have your planners open right now, August the 15th, Val's daughter will be launching her fashion show, and we're going to be giving you more information about that in the end. But just right now, put that in your calendars, August the 15th, and again, we'll speak more to that. I want to speak a little bit about the art of activation. I mentioned it in your bio. I was very excited that you were selected as one of the contributors of it. Let's speak to the art of activation with the Mama Activator, Ms. Lucinda Cross. How was that for you? Please share.
You know, that project was a very interesting project because at the time that it was presented to me, I was actually going through a very difficult time in my life. And so I knew deep down inside that I wanted to be a part of the project. However, I didn't know exactly how I would contribute to the project. Ultimately, I came up with my chapter, which was When Life Throws You a Curveball, Catch It. And the book and the project, The Art of Activation, is it's really like an anthology of 24 stories from 24 different women to help to inspire, to uplift people. It's almost like a chicken soup for the soul type of book.
Indeed.
Yeah. And if you haven't gotten a copy of that book, I definitely say, you know, go get a copy because definitely one or more of those stories will touch you and you will be able to relate to something that was written in that book. So the experience was, it came at the right time, even though I was going through a difficult time, and to be able to connect with women, it was a sisterhood type of project to be able to work on it. So I was thankful, and Lucinda, she's a visionary. She brought together these women, and together we created this book, The Art of Activation.
Beautifully said. Lucinda is indeed a visionary. We had several guests throughout the show that have worked with Lucinda in various capacities, as well as myself. Lucinda is a endorser of Not Without a Fight, 10 Ways to Win When It Appears As If You've Already Lost. I had the pleasure of working with her at the Activate conferences. There are other individuals that have been on the show that have spoken to just the magnitude of her work. So it's an honor to have you to speak to the Art of Activation. You're actually the first person that we've had on the show that has been a contributor of her latest book, again, The Art of Activation. So thank you for sharing that. Family, we encourage you. We have a link on the Power Zone with DU's page where you can click into that and check out The Art of Activation. There's a synopsis on the Amazon page. Purchase the book, support Val and the other contributors. You can also check out Val's page at our website, just the same, and there you will learn about the motivational speaker, the author, the activist, all of those amazing things that comes into exactly who Valerie Carey is. We're actually going to go out on a break, Val, and when we return, we're going to speak to some of those other things that I just mentioned. So we have what's called the song of the show, and it has to be a song that inspires you, and you can let us know why, and then we'll go out on it. So what song inspires you and why?
Well, I'm going to say I'm a Bee by the Black Eyed Peas, and that song inspires me because it's I'm a bee. What am I going to be being? I can be anything that I want to be. And so that's a very inspirational song to me. It gets me pumped.
I'm a bee. It's one of my favorites as well. So we're going to go out on that, family. I'm a Bee by the Black Eyed Peas. And when we return, we'll have more of Miss Valerie Carey, and we'll speak to all of her amazing platforms when we return after this break.
I'ma be rocking over that bass treble. I'ma be chilling with my mother crew. I'ma be making all them deals you wanna do. I'ma be up in them A-list flicks, doing one-handed flips, and I'ma be sipping don't trip, 'cause I'ma be shaking my hips. You gon' be licking your lips. I'ma be taking them pics, looking all fly and shit. I'ma be the flyest chick. I'ma be spreading my wings. I'ma be doing my thing.
Do it.
Okay. I'ma swing it this way. I'ma swing it that way. It's Perky Ferg, and I'ma be here to stay. The 21st century till infinity.
I'ma be, I'ma be, I'ma be, I'ma be, I'ma be, I'ma be, I'ma be.
We rich baby, what what? I'ma be the shit, baby. Check me out. We I'ma be on top, never stop. We I'ma be freaking her. I'ma be the upgraded new. I'ma be the advanced brother with soul. I'ma be worldwide, international. I'ma be in Rio, rockin' Tokyo. I'ma be brilliant with my millions. Loan out a billion and get back a trillion. I'ma be a brother, but my name ain't Lehman. I'ma be a bank, I'll be loaning out. Honey's in debt, they be bouncing them checks, but I don't really mind when they bouncing them checks. I'ma be rich, baby. Sick with the flow, and the goal is to rock the whole globe. I'ma be the future, I'ma be the whole. Reason why you even wanna come to a show. You can see me while I'm rocking and I'm kicking out a dough. Then I'ma be up in the club, doing whatever I like. I'ma be popping that bubbly, cooling and living that good life. Oh, let's make this last forever. Party and we'll chill together. On and 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 on.
Have you ever felt like no matter how hard you tried, no matter how often you tried, you can't win for always losing? Marriage, relationships, children, family, finances, work. The list goes on and on. You can't seem to ever get it right and are often left with that lingering feeling of doubt, wondering, why should I even attempt any further? If you have experienced these feelings, this book is for you. Not Without a Fight, 10 Ways to Win When It Appears As If You've Already Lost, delivers transparency, resilience, strength, and practical measures that will encourage you to stay in the ring and fight for a few more rounds. You will feel rejuvenated and encouraged to continue as you affirm your winning moments are a breath away. As you read this book and reflect on your challenges in life, it is my hope that you will begin to incorporate the principles of winning into your daily regimen. You may feel beaten thus far. However, know from this moment forward, you are a winner. Say it, see it, believe it, be it. Order your copy of Not Without a Fight, 10 Ways to Win When It Appears As If You've Already Lost at DarlenesUtopia.com.
Welcome back, family. You have returned to the Power Zone with DU. I am your host, Darlene A. Anderson, founder of Darlene's Utopia and author of Not Without a Fight, 10 Ways to Win When It Appears As If You Already Lost. And we have with us presently, if you've been tuned in or if you've just tuned in to this segment of the show, Ms. Valerie Terry, author, mentor, speaker, coach, and activist. Welcome back to the call, Valerie.
Thank you, darling.
We've had some great talk thus far. I'm excited with the subject matter. As I stated previously, I'm honored to have you on the show. Family, if you just tuned in, we definitely need you to rewind and catch the first segment of this show in which we discussed TOTM, Time of the Month, in which Valerie is the author of The Time of the Month Ultimate Period Planner. We discussed that. Valerie's also the co-author of The Art of Activation with Lucinda Cross with 23 other dynamic women. As Valerie said it, as simple but such a profound way, it's like a modern day chicken soup for the soul. And that is well said. So please log on right now to Valerie's page. You can go to it from The Power Zone with DU. Check out Valerie at valterry.com. There you will be able to get her book as well as The Art of Activation. So now that we got all of that out of the way, let's speak to the mentor, the coach, the activist, and what you're passionate about. it was an honor seeing all of your affiliations, because sometimes we don't know what people do outside of what their platform is as an author, as a speaker. So it's great to see that you're committed to mentorship and really playing a part in reshaping your community. What has that been like for you? Please share to explain.
You know, somewhere deep down inside, I think I've always been, I guess I was born to serve, which is why I became a civil servant. I'm deeply rooted in community. I believe that, you know, where you live, you definitely want the people around you. You want the best for them. You want them to do well. You know, like I said, I grew up in pink houses, and it's like if you're able to make it out of there, and then there are some people who don't have mentors, some people who don't necessarily have the opportunity to see life from a different perspective, I feel it's almost like our responsibility for those who are quote-unquote successful or those who have actually quote-unquote made it on some sort of level to actually give back to help your fellow mankind, because not everyone is going to see life the way you see it. They may not see that they may not have self-motivation and may not see how they can get out of their current situation. And as a mentor, you're sharing your experiences and helping them, shortening someone's learning curve in life, whether you're mentoring them in business or you're just mentoring them in life, period. And when I was a police officer, I became involved with the PAL through Mentoring USA. And I saw some young people that were in desperate need of mentoring. Not everyone comes from a two-family household, and some people who come from a one-parent household, their parent may be working overtime, plus time, and don't have time for that child. Some parents may be dependent upon drugs, so that child is not getting the attention that they need. So each person's story is different, and so if you're able to help a youngster in their development through mentorship, I definitely say it doesn't take that much time to become a mentor. I'm now involved with Brooklyn Cares Mentoring Movement, which is the local chapter of National Cares. And National Cares was spearheaded by Susan Taylor, who is the editor-in-chief emeritus of Essence Magazine. And it started as Essence Care, and then it became National Care. And so I sit on the board for the local chapter, which is Brooklyn Cares, and what we do is we connect able, willing adults who want to become mentors to existing mentoring organizations that need mentors. And as I said, it doesn't take much to become a mentor. 1 hour a week. Some mentoring organizations don't require that. Some would take you with 1 hour every 2 weeks. But to be able to contribute a little goes a long way in a young person's life. So,
Correct.
I definitely say if you can spare the time. And some people think that being a mentor is difficult. Sometimes it's just actually spending time with that youngster. We have different models of mentoring. You have group mentoring where you go into a classroom and you just speak about your life experience, talk about your career or your business. And that right there can actually help and impact a child. And then there's one-on-one mentoring where you get to spend time with a child individually, and whether you're taking them, you know, to a museum or you're going to a movie and then discussing the movie afterwards, those are forms of mentoring as well.
Correct, and it's extremely important, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because some of us think that we have to sit on boards, that we have to be in organizations, and we take those structured examples
and use them as excuses by saying, you know, I don't have time because I can't sit on the board, or I don't have time because I can't be in this committee. But the reality of it is we are all mentors at one point or another in our lives, as parents, as siblings, if we live in a community and have children that we see, youth that we see, we're all mentors. It's about how far you're going to go, and I'm glad you gave that example to help change your life. So where you're at, move with that. Move with that to help change a life. Grab someone up, talk to somebody, even if it's every day saying, I see you, how are you, what are your goals, do you need assistance with that? There's always somebody that requires that extra support. So thank you for sharing that. It's extremely important. And some of these things that Val is doing, you know, these are amazing, amazing organizations to consider. So if you do have the time, please look into these organizations and get involved on your level of comfortability. So thank you for sharing that. Please tell me, what is the most rewarding experience throughout the years that you can remember as a mentor?
Oh, gosh. That's a good question, right? That is certainly a good question. I can't really think of the most rewarding. I do recall I had a young mentee, this young lady, and she really touched my heart. She was one of several siblings. And sometimes, you know, when you have a bunch of siblings, you may get lost in the sauce. And, you know, she was bright, and I would help her with her homework. And I remember giving her a dictionary as a gift. And sometimes they tell you not to give gifts to your mentees, but, you know,
yes,
it's a book. It was a dictionary.
And that's one of the biggest gifts, Dan. A dictionary, if you give somebody a dictionary, Lord, you just see so much promise in that person. They don't even give gifts like that anymore. So continue.
So, you know, unfortunately, I lost contact with my mentee, and I'm just curious as to what she's doing in her life now, because I'm sure now she has to be, you know, of the age of college. Because that was so long ago, but she was one that really stood out.
I'm sure that you have helped to change her life in a way that, although you are no longer in contact with her, that gift probably will always remain in her psyche as something that someone gave her, someone cared. When you care, that exceeds a moment. That exceeds a moment. I was just telling a colleague, or a friend rather, yesterday I walked past someone, young entrepreneur, this girl had to be no more than 10, selling cookies, like in the heart of Ocean Hill, Brownsville, with her little table, with her glasses on, and her little entrepreneur's hat, just doing it at her table. And I walked by and I said, you know, I don't need a cookie, because this past weekend I have just cheated so much. I only had a cookie, but here's $2. And it's funny because I actually think I gave the young lady $11. Because I think I gave her a 10 and a 1 because I was heading to a meeting. And I told my girlfriend, and I said, oh, my God, I just gave this girl $11. I meant to give her $2. And she said, well, don't go back. She said, just check it out. And so I said, I'm not going to go back, but I really wanted to give her $2. So she said, that will be something that young lady will always remember. And even if you never see her a day in life, she from that moment will be able to give someone without hesitation the way you gave to her today. So chuck it up as, you know, a life lesson for her, if nothing else. And you're just pretty much out of $9. And I just said, you know, yeah, 100% life. I still have to say, sis, that's a beautiful thing. And I wish continued blessings to the young lady wherever she is in the world. I know that you have changed her life in that moment of sharing that dictionary. So thank you for sharing. And family listening in on the show, I wanted to say we don't even give gifts like that anymore. To give someone a dictionary back then was like the ultimate gift to give, the gift of being able to articulate, read, pronunciation, use different words, vocabulary. That's awesome. So kudos for you in even giving such an extraordinary gift.
Thank you.
You're very much welcome. So, I want to come to what you are passionate about outside of mentorship. I know that you have a platform right now that illustrates resilience, strength. It shows that when we are faced with, as you said, as the world throws us curveballs, we catch it and we move in it. And sometimes that is uncomfortable, it's unpleasant, and we go through things that really we have to get through before we can move forward and help to reshape the world. And you're doing that right now. So I just want to speak to right now what you're passionate about and what your platform is in this, I guess, occurrence, so to speak.
Well, I guess those who know me and have been following me know that I'm very passionate right now in seeking justice for my sister, Miriam Carey. My sister, Miriam, was killed October 3rd, 2013 in Washington, D.C., by U.S. Secret Service and Capitol Police. To this date, and we're now 21 months, I believe it's 21 months ago, we still have not, and when I say we, I'm talking about the family, have not been notified of the officers who were involved, their identities, which means that, of course, justice is not being served. It is my belief that these officers violated their own protocol, so I am passionately pursuing the path of justice for my sister with the assistance of my attorney. And I want individuals to know exactly what happened to my sister. And, you know, those who are tuning in, you know, our voices are meek when it's one. And unfortunately, my sister, when she was killed, the Black Lives Movement really hadn't culminated. It hadn't really gained steam. And for some reason, she was not really included in those conversations. And I urge that people as citizens, as constituents, pressure Congress person and ask, what happened to Miriam Carey? Why did that happen? And what's happening to those people that actually committed these crimes against her? Because those were crimes. Murder, that's what it is. It's murder. She was unarmed, and she was not committing a crime, and they killed her. And so that's what I'm passionate about, seeking justice for my sister.
Thank you so very much for sharing your story. You are an amazing woman. And you said something earlier that when the art of activation came up, an opportunity presented itself, you were going through some things. Is it safe to assume that this was one of the things that you were undergoing when you were selected to be a contributor for the art of activation?
Yes.
And despite what was going on, you were still able to move in your emotions and convey that on paper and have others to see that there is not necessarily like there's a period where you have to move. Some people get stuck in those feelings of loss and they're not able to function. And I came in on this part saying that you are resilient. It's like you show resilience that despite this, I'm going to move. I'm going to move with the platform of finding out of justice. I'm going to continue to be a writer. I'm going to continue to be a mentor, a speaker. Like, you are moving in your emotions, and hats off to you for that, because that is extremely difficult to do, and we honor you here on the Power Zone in doing so. And family, if you are passionate about this, we invite you to log on to Val's page, see how you can get involved. Val, you all will actually be going to Washington on October the 3rd to continue your fight for justice and to really speak to what happened. So that is October the 3rd that you'll be going out there, the anniversary, the second anniversary of the passing of your sister, correct?
Yes. We will be back in Washington, D.C. at the location where my sister was shot and killed, at one of the locations, and then we're going to walk to her final resting place.
Family, if you are able and interested in giving support, we invite you to, again, log on to the page, contact Valerie Carey, see how you can support. If you're not able to go to Washington, we invite you to take some of the steps that she's encouraged. Contact your local councilman. Ask questions. See what's going on. See how you can get involved on that level to definitely help to bring about justice and closure to what has happened to the Carey family. And family, I also want to mention that Valerie is working on a nonprofit in her sister's name. So there will be work to be done thereafter ongoingly in ensuring that her sister's name and her mission is continuously remembered and we are serving our community here and beyond. So Valerie, speak to that for a second, if you will.
Yes, I'm currently working on a foundation in memory of my sister's name, which will benefit young women that are interested in the field of dentistry. Because my sister was a registered dental hygienist who actually had aspirations of becoming a dentist.
Thank you for sharing that. Again, family, get involved. Get involved. And that profession in itself is such a, well, as far as finances, it's profitable. It requires a lot of discipline. If you can take it and you can move, I just had a conversation with some members of my organization and we were speaking to just the whole minimum wage advancing between now and the next couple of years of $15. So it's stating that everything else that has been defined as not being a minimum wage job will also increase in salary. So this organization is really important because a lot of our youth really come out and they don't know what to do, where to get involved, what to get involved with. So this really speaks to a profession that can bring about financial stability. So, again, kudos to you and your organization for informing youth on things of this nature. So thank you for that. For more information about the nonprofit, please continue to follow Valerie at her website, valcarey.com. And, again, family, get involved, get involved. Valerie, it has been a pleasure. Time always flies when you're having great conversation.
Yes, for you. Thank you so much for having me, darling. I had such a great time talking to you. Thank you again just for allowing me to be on your show and to share some of the things that have happened recently with me and to share with what's happening in the future. Thank you so much.
It is our honor on the Power Zone to bring about insightful and resourceful communication, and you are definitely in a category of both and beyond. As mentioned before, when we were speaking about your daughter, I said I would come back to it because we want the Power Zone to support young entrepreneurs to come out if they can on August the 15th. So please give a little more information to that before we close so they can be prepared and also any of your upcoming happenings.
Oh, yes, the 4th annual STC fashion show is happening at La Nacional, which is the Spanish Benevolent Society building. It's the red door, and the number or the address is 239 West 14th Street. That's happening August 15th. That's a Saturday, and that's from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and the fashion show is going to start at exactly 7 p.m., so we're going to have some great giveaways. We have vendors, and, of course, we have the fashions of Shelby Tyler Carey, which are going to be awesome. The theme this year is Sex in the City. So if anyone's interested, definitely follow us on Twitter. I'm at Val Carey. You can find us on Facebook. Go to the STC page on Facebook, and then we also have an Eventbrite page for STC 4th Annual Fashion Show.
Thank you for sharing, and congratulations. Continued success to your entrepreneur. I can't even really say young entrepreneur because she's just doing it. And these youth nowadays, they don't like to be categorized as youth. They're equal. So congratulations to your entrepreneur. Continued success again through her. And you also are working on a TOTM brunch that's tentative for September.
Yes. We have a tentative date for the 19th of September, but we haven't locked it in. It's either going to be the 19th or the 26th, but definitely we're going to be having it here in Brooklyn. The location, more than likely, is going to be the Pink Teacup, and it's going to be a morning, afternoon of TOTM tips and what, you know, sisterhood and what to eat during that time of the month to keep your mood boosted and to stay positive and motivated.
Great stuff. TOTM, Time of the Month Brunch. Mark your calendars with those tentative days. Follow up. Stay in touch with Val. Frequent her website. Are you also on any forms of social media? I believe you're on Facebook as well, correct?
Yes, I'm on Facebook. We're on Facebook as TOTM. We're also on Facebook as Valerie Carey, and my name is spelled V-A-L-A-R-I-E-C-A-R-E-Y. You can follow me on Twitter at Val Carey. You can also follow us on Instagram at MyTOTM.
Thank you. And family, if you're listening in and you're not logged on from your devices right now, we also have those links on the Blog Talk Radio website. So you can link on to those links via our site. Again, Val, it's a pleasure. I'm excited. I know we're going to do some further work together. I've been seeing you out and about at different events. I went to an event. I was an invited author maybe around 2-3 months ago. I have to shout out Miss Christine of Five Links. Christine had me out to her event, and it was a sea of women in the space, and I knew no one there except Christine, who was the host, and I saw Valerie. So that was an honor to me. I know we didn't get a really long chance to speak about that, but it meant so much for me to see you in that space and for us to further chat to get to where we're at today. So thank you so much for your support on that day. Family, it's always a pleasure to have you all out here. I invite you to return to the Power Zone every Wednesday night when we're bringing about great conversations to help you elevate to your highest level of potential. Until we meet again, be well, continue blessings, and continue productivity.
The content of the Power Zone with DU, a component of Darlene's Utopia, is intended for general information purposes only. The views expressed by the show's hosts and their guests are their own and shall not be construed in any way as advice from the Power Zone with DU or Darlene's Utopia. Personal perspectives expressed by the producer, writers, editors, hosts, and guests will always be presented as such. We encourage you to seek professional advice for any problem in which you may have. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Darlene's Utopia or the Power Zone with DU.